If you would please join me in prayer. Holy God, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear your word for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We're continuing on in chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Let us listen for God's word for us this morning. When the Son of Man comes as king, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at his right and the others at his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father. Come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your home, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me into your home, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The other night I was in the kitchen with my wife Elizabeth talking, which is our custom at the end of the day. We usually talk about what we had for lunch that day, what our upcoming plans for the weekend are, what we might be doing for Thanksgiving. And as Liz was talking, I received a text message in the group chat for my fantasy football league and instinctively opened it up to read it. No sooner had my gaze lowered to my phone than Liz stopped mid-sentence and asked the question many a person has asked to someone who they have caught being distracted. "Are you paying attention?" Embarrassed that I had been caught so quickly, I responded the same way anyone would if they were hoping to avoid that awful look of someone who is disappointed in them. "Of course I am." I knew that the question that comes next, that always comes next, is a question that I can never seem to answer. "Okay, what was the last thing I said?" You see, we come to this moment in the text, which is Jesus' last formal lesson, the culmination of three parables which speak to our preparation for the coming of the Son of Man, days before Jesus is betrayed, and Jesus is seeing if we have been paying attention at all. He describes the scene of judgment to come at the end of the world, when the Lord comes in glory to pass judgment on humanity and hearken a new creation. On one side, he puts the righteous, the sheep. On the other side, he puts the goats. And unlike Simone Biles or Michael Jordan or Tom Brady, these are not the types of goats you want to be. The sheep he blesses, the goats are pushed away and punished. It isn't often enough that we wrestle with the difficult texts, especially the ones that draw on the unpleasant picture of judgment and damnation. Instead, we choose to let them be covered in the ellipses of an abbreviated reading of Scripture. End at verse 40 of Matthew 25, and we can avoid the unpleasantness of judgment and damnation altogether. We can avoid having to talk about the consequences. Jesus knows when he gives us the picture of sheep and goats, right hand and left hand, blessing and punishment, that our attention will immediately go to wondering which side we are on. Are we sheep or are we goats? When Christ tells the sheep why they are blessed, for feeding him and giving him water and welcoming him and clothing him and caring for him when he was sick and visiting him when he was in prison, the sheep are utterly confused. When was it that we saw you that way? In the same way, the goats, now bewildered at what is transpiring, perhaps angry at the fact that Christ never gave them the opportunity by appearing to them in such a distress to help him, ask, when was it that we saw you in that way? The same question receives the same answer from Christ. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me, he tells the sheep. Just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me, he tells the goats. That is the edge of inheriting eternal life through entry into the kingdom that God has prepared and eternal punishment apart from it. Did we or didn't we? It's easy to get caught up right here. Nothing gives us more anxiety than trying to figure out whether we did or did not do something when eternal punishment is on the line. Yet John Calvin reminds us that election is divine knowledge, not human knowledge. Yes, there are goats and sheep, but only God knows for sure which are which. Even in this depiction of judgment, the sheep and the goats ask the same question because both are ignorant to exactly when or how they did or did not do what Christ claims. The judgment is front and center, damnation or blessing, there to draw our attention. And yet, Jesus wants to know, have we really been paying attention? Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, visit the imprisoned. Throughout Jesus's ministry and teachings, Jesus foregoes the center for the margins, inviting those who the world has pushed aside into meaningful relationships, placing his body in the spaces they live in so that God's love and their value may be known. Every time we begin to focus elsewhere and get distracted by other things, Jesus draws our attention back and onto the people and places he seeks out. It should come as a surprise to no one that the sheep and the goats, even at the judgment, Jesus brings the attention back to the least of those who are hungry and thirsty and sick and naked and foreign and in bondage. They are at the margins of the world Jesus is brought into, and they are at the margins of this image of judgment, and that's where Jesus wants our attention. They are the crucible by which the very presence of God is again experienced in the world. And when we did not see him, but treated those in need as though they carried with them the very image and value of God, so too did we treat Christ. And when we didn't, when we disregard our neighbors, when we built barriers to keep the marginalized away from our own persons and spaces, we unknowingly pushed ourselves further and further from God. Are we paying attention? There is so much in our world that wants our attention. The division in our nation and the consequences of hatred continue to batter our bodies and our psyches. This pandemic goes on, and it's hard not to fixate on the rising case numbers or the grief of such immense loss. We put our attention into books and get distracted by streaming services. We look to sports and games and podcasts and planning projects and holiday plans to distract us from everything going on. We get caught up in the holiday season and decorating and buying gifts. We longingly wait for the year to end and to imagine what next year will bring. And yet, in the midst of all of that, Christ is still waiting for us to give him our attention, to look to those we have pushed aside and in their eyes find the glimmer of eternal life and the kingdom God is making for us. Perhaps this week we can give thanks to those who have seen our marginalized spaces, those who fed us and gave us drink, clothed us and welcomed us, cared for us when we were sick and visited us in isolation. Maybe we can find comfort in knowing that God sees us all, always, and sends us out to one another. There was a man who lived under one of the underpasses in Atlanta. Each day he would walk to a corner near Peachtree and Pine Street with a small cardboard sign that read, "Every little bit helps." Most days he would spend his entire day at the corner watching the cars go by. Every so often a person would wave him over and give him a couple of dollars or the change out of their cup holder. Sometimes he would be offered food or a bottle of water, but most people just passed by. Red lights were always the hardest part of his day because you can't even imagine the lengths people will go to avoid being in eyesight or looking over at him. Week after week, this was the man's routine. And after a while, he began to recognize some of the cars that passed through regularly. Then one day, the guy who drives the gray Nissan, who always stopped short as not to be right next to where the man was, rolls down his window and says good morning. He waves the shocked man over and hands him a bag. When the guy drives away, the man opens the bag and inside he finds a cereal bar and a small bottle of water, travel-sized shampoo and soap, a toothbrush and toothpaste, an extra large t-shirt from a school fundraiser, a business card from an outreach center down the street, and a small note. The man lit up as he read it. "I'm sorry it's taken me so long, but today I saw you." Have we been paying attention? Can we give our attention to God before the end of all things? Can we allow ourselves to turn our fear of judgment into selfless care? Jesus tells us to stop looking for a king at the center of it all. That may come later. Instead, look for your neighbor who is hungry and feed them. Look for your friend who is thirsty and offer them a drink. Look for your enemy and welcome them. Look for the traumatized and care for them. Look for the vulnerable and clothe them. Look for the enslaved and stand in solidarity with them. Give your attention to God through the least of these. because just as you do it to one of them, you do it to Christ. May it be so for all of us. Amen.